Morning, everyone. Welcome to the Monday, January 13th edition of the MMAOB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, and I'll be taking you guys through the latest in the world of mixed martial arts. And there's definitely a lot of news to talk about, so I'll get right into that in one second here. But I did notice that the Oscar nominations came out today, and I am a kind of a movie buff, so I'm always interested to see what gets nominated, even though a lot of the times the awards are pretty poorly done and the nominations aren't very good. But anyways, I still look. I was really surprised Uncut Gems didn't get nominated. That's a great movie, guys. Like, anyone who's watching this is obviously a sports fan. That movie is fantastic. Great movie for any sports fan, especially for people who bet on sports. Great movie. Like, great performance by Adam Sandler. Just an awesome screenplay, too. So I was really surprised that wasn't nominated for anything. Great movie. Definitely highly recommended. One sports movie that was snubbed. And I guess no surprise there, because sports movies generally do get snubbed. But I think anyone, honestly, who listens to this podcast would really like that movie because it is fantastic. All right, let's get right into today's podcast. All right, so I'll start with Conor McGregor. So he's fighting Dolph Lundgren this weekend, guys. It's finally coming up. Crazy, right? Saturday, 5 more days. I'm going to see McGregor and Cerrone. I can't wait. It's going to be a good fight. And McGregor did an interview with Ariel the other day. And I think there's like a longer part of the interview coming up. But right now he released like a teaser, almost a few minutes, talking about the Cerrone fight. And McGregor explained why he picked Cerrone for a few reasons. So first off, he said he has a lot of respect for Donald Cerrone. He said that, you know, this guy fights often. He likes that. He said he likes the fact that he's a family man, brings his grandmother to his fights. He just said he respects the guy a lot. He's always going in there and putting on a show for the fans. And, he said there's some bad blood there dating back to the Jose Aldo press conference from years ago. I think that was like 5 or 6 years ago now. So these guys have been a long time coming here for this fight. I know some people don't love the matchup here. I think it makes a lot of sense. You know, even McGregor said, you know, it's a good comeback fight. Dana White likes the fight as a comeback fight. It just makes a lot of sense. You know, it's kind of a less risky fight than if just say Conor came back and fought Khabib. That's a terrible matchup. Ferguson's a bad matchup. Gaethje's super, super dangerous. And then you have obviously guys at 170 like Masvidal who like are super dangerous too. So to me, Cerrone is a dangerous guy. Don't get me wrong. He can win this fight. But as I've talked about on the podcast in recent weeks, and I'll explain more tomorrow, I do believe that Conor probably does get the nod here. And I can see why he's picked him. I think it makes a lot of sense. You know, it is kind of crazy that, you know, Conor got to basically handpick his opponent. I mean, who else gets to do that? Not very many guys get to personally handpick their opponent in the card they want to fight on the date. But it's Conor McGregor. It's the guy who changed the game. So, you know, the UFC gave him a lot of leeway here, and he picked Cerrone, and you know, he explained his reasoning, and I think it's going to be a good fight. It would have been nice if he just said, basically, I don't think Donald has a good chance. I can knock him out, but didn't say that. Dana White also said today that the UFC doctors checked on Conor McGregor, and he's in the best shape of his career. And from the pictures we've seen, he looks really good. So, you know, he has fought at 170 twice, the two Nate Diaz fights. The first fight, obviously, was not a good idea. Took it on short notice and just had basically too much muscle on him, and he just gassed out. But the second time, you know, he looked like a little better there. I think this third time at 170, he'll have learned a lot. But again, the long layoff definitely is a worry. So we'll see what happens. It's going to be a great fight. Tomorrow morning, I'll be doing the breakdown podcast for the entire card with Cole Sheldon. First breakdown card of the year. We'll be doing them for every UFC card in 2020, as always. So I'm really excited about that. But yeah, tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. I'll be doing a normal podcast, as always, at 10 as well. All right, let's keep going for today's news. Cowboy Cerrone, he's got these cool Budweiser cans that Budweiser came out with. Very, very cool. They're available in Vegas all week, or all month, actually. So, fortunately, the rest of us that are in Vegas won't be able to get them, but they're really cool. And he's got his little, like, logo on them, and it's cool, you know? So, I think that was pretty interesting by Budweiser to get that done for him. Cowboy obviously loves drinking his beer, so makes a lot of sense. And really good partnership here. Obviously, Conor's got the proper 12, and now Cowboy's got his Budweiser. Dustin Poirier's back in the news. Man, this guy really wants to fight Nate Diaz. Like, it seems like every day he's going on Twitter or doing an interview calling on Nate Diaz. I'd like to see this fight. I think it's a great fight, personally. We were supposed to see it back at UFC 230 in November 2018. The fight did not happen. But I think now in 2020, with Nate looking for a fight, with Poirier looking for a fight, it makes a lot of sense. They coming off the loss to Masvidal, Poirier coming off the loss to Khabib. They're still two of the top guys in the world. It makes a lot of sense. But here's the thing. Poirier fights at 155. Nate Diaz, he's a 170-pounder now. I don't think he's going to cut weight to 155. I don't see that happening at this point in his career. He doesn't need to. He can just do money fights at 170. I'm not convinced that Poirier really is a money fight, but I still think he is a pretty big name. Obviously not a proven pay-per-view seller like Nate Diaz, but still a pretty big name. And I do think it'd be a fun fight. So, you know, Poirier says he's open to moving up to 170 fight Nate Diaz, and I think it'd be a really good matchup. It actually makes it really intriguing at 170 because Nate obviously be bigger and longer. Poirier would have a chance, of course. He's a very good fighter, really good striking, great submissions, just a really good, well-rounded fighter. But Nate Diaz, of course, very, very proven at 170. So I like this matchup a lot. You know, the thing is, if Poirier wants to be the backup fighter for UFC 249, if he wants to be the backup for Khabib and Ferguson and wants to fight in that card, then the fight would have to be at 155 and really be having to fight Justin Gaethje if they wanted to do that insurance. But I think he realizes now that, you know what, Conor's going to be the backup fighter. It's not going to be me. So I think that's why he's going out there and telling Nate, I'll fight you at 170 instead of 155, because he knows now that if Conor beats Cerrone this weekend, he is the first guy in to fight Khabib or Ferguson, whoever gets injured out of that fight. All right, next up, we got Walt Harris. So, man, good for him. He'll be returning to Octagon soon, apparently. Hopefully in April, according to his manager. It's good to hear. I mean, Walt Harris, man, he suffered a tough 2019. In the cage, he looked amazing. He was coming off that really nice win over Alexi Linick. Got the Overeem fight booked for the main event. You see Washington DC. And then, of course, we know what happened to his daughter. She was kidnapped and later murdered, and the body was found. So he had to obviously excuse himself from that fight. Very understandable. But he is going to fight again. Man, I feel bad for whoever steps in the octagon with Walt Harris, because he's going to be probably just pent up with anger and just want to take it on whoever. So, you know, Walt Harris, you know, he's gone through a lot. And I think, you know, it's just unfortunate because, man, he was really peaking as a fighter. And then that happened to him, obviously. But, you know, I think that 2020 could be a really big year for Walt. And I'm excited to see who they match him up against. I was looking at the rankings. You know, there's a few guys that I think make sense. Overeem actually does make sense, though, because he's only ranked – he's ranked one above Walt Harris. Walt Harris is ranked number 9. Overeem's at number 8. So that makes sense. That's a fight that can still happen. Or they could do Volkov, who's ranked number 7. I think those two guys make sense. You don't want to take a step back. So, you know, the next guy underneath him is Shamil. I don't think he wants to fight Shamil Abdurakhimov. I think he wants to fight someone like Overeem or Volkov, move up the ladder. So we'll see what happens. But I definitely expect Harris to fight a top 10 opponent in his return to the octagon. Paul Daly's in the news. He says he's been fired from his role of Bellator television analyst due to some comments he made about Michael Page's matchmaking. And, you know, I saw the comments. I think some of us have seen them. Basically, he said that Bellator, you know, has been giving Page easy fights and he wants to see him get better matchmaking. And he's not wrong. And I believe this is probably why he was fired. And he's not making any qualms about it. He just said, you know, I got fired for some, you know, candid remarks or something. He's not wrong. Like, I think a lot of us agree. And I posted the article on DJ Pan, and everyone in the comments was like really supportive of Paul, saying like, you know what, he's right. Like, the matchmaking is not very good. You know, it sucks because I actually really like Rich Chow. He's the matchmaker for Bellator. He used to be the matchmaker for Strikeforce, Elite XC, I believe, and also Rumble on the Rock. So he's been around forever. He's a great matchmaker. He really is. But, you know, I don't know if it's him or if it's Scott Coker or if it's like the higher ups at Bellator, but the Michael Page matchmaking is a joke. I personally don't even enjoy watching his fights anymore, because fighting guys like Shinzo Anzai, really? Giovanni Malello, really? Like Richard Kiley? These guys are, no one even knows who these guys are. Like, come on, man. You know, he should be fighting only top 10 guys. Why did he not fight Lawrence Larkin on the Japan card? They were both fighting on the same card against guys that they were obviously going to beat. What's the point of those fights? So I'm 100% with Paul Daly here. It sucks he got fired, but I don't think he cares too much. And you know what? He's right. He was right. So Jessica Penne, this actually happened a few days ago, but I didn't get a chance to talk about it. She says she may have to retire due to some issues with USADA. Really unfortunate here for Penne. She posted a really long letter. It's like 4 pages long on Instagram. I read the whole thing. Basically, she's had a couple issues with USADA, and now she's facing a 4-year suspension. She's going to fight it, I believe, with a lawyer. They did a GoFundMe now. Her manager opened one up. They need to have like $25,000 to $30,000 to fight it. You know, she's 36 years old, you know, so she's actually, unfortunately, a little bit older now. And 4-year suspension obviously would destroy her career, because she'd be back at 40 too late, especially for a woman. I don't see that happen. You don't see too many women fighting in their 40s. You don't see too many men fighting in their 40s. But, you know, unfortunately, it looks like it might be it for Jessica Penne. But honestly, like, you know, I feel really bad for her, because I was reading her thing and she's like, basically, I have to work for Lyft and drive people around because I can't fight and I can't make money. I have to do private seminars. Like, I get that. But at the same time, like, you know, and I'm not saying she intentionally even took anything, but you know, the fact that things were found in her system multiple times, like, it does kind of raise some questions. So I definitely feel bad for her, because you don't want to see someone forced out of the sport. But at the same time, you know, USADA's got their thing, and it's crazy how so many people are turning USADA now. I think they've been good for the sport. I think they've really cleaned up the sport. You know, I think they do play favorites. I think John Jones has got away with a lot of stuff, whereas Jessica Penny wouldn't get away with that kind of stuff. So that part of it I don't like, but, you know, they're doing their best with the sport. I hope everything works for Penny. You know, if she truly did, you know, unintentionally take something, or it was an accident, or the, you know, the level's so low that it really doesn't matter, then I hope she does, you know, get reinstated. But, you know, it sucks. But unfortunately, you saw it is part of the sport now. And, you know, you got to be super careful what you put in your body. You got to be super, super careful. All right, let's get some fight announcements here. A couple were announced on the weekend. A couple for UFC Columbus, actually. I really like this fight. Juliana Pena against Askren Ladd. The winner of this fight could very well get title shot at 135. Pena is actually ranked number 4. Askren Ladd is ranked number 2. Pena, 9-3 in her career. In the UFC, she is 5-1. She is coming off a nice win over Nico Montano to bounce back from the loss to Valentina Shevchenko. That was 2017. So she had a 2.5-year layoff, came back, got a nice win. She obviously had a child, so she took some time off. But she's still a very good fighter, dangerous fighter. Has some good wins in her career. Katzengano, Nico Montano, Jessica Eye. So some good wins. A very good fighter. Obviously, her wrestling's quite good. She'll be taking on Aspen Ladd here. And Ladd's a very good fighter as well. Only 24 years old, so super young. 9-1 in her career, including 4-1 in the UFC, coming off a win by knockout over Yana Kunitskaya. Yeah, and to bounce back from the win over, or the loss to Jermaine Durandamy, which was on the same card as Pena Montano. But yeah, you know, it's an interesting fight. Pena wrestling is very good, and overall she's pretty durable, but, you know, Aspen Ladd is super good and very young, and she's improving every fight. I still love the way that Durandamy fight ended, and, you know, I think I'd have to favor Ladd slightly in this one. Not hugely by any means, but I do favor a little bit, and she probably does get the win here, but, you know, interesting fight for sure. And the winner, I do believe, gets a title shot. You know, some people were saying Irene Aldana, and I'm not against that by any means, but, you know, I don't know. I just feel like these fighters probably are a little bit above Aldana at this point. Although the UFC loves Aldana, I don't think she has a chance against Nunes, whereas I do think, you know, at least Ladd would have somewhat of a chance to land a knockout punch. Also on this card, you got Puna Heli Soriano taking on Eric Spicely. I mean, I like Eric Spicely. You know, he's a tough dude. Like, that fight with Deron Wynn last year was amazing. One of the best fights of 2019. No one really talked about it, but it was an amazing fight. But, man, this is obviously a mismatch in Puna Heli Soriano's favor. He's coming off a massive knockout win over Oscar Pachoda at UFC 245. Was there. Huge knockout win for this guy, 27 years old, 6 wins by stoppage. Obviously, Contender Series veteran. Dana Light loves this guy. This guy is really dangerous, dude. Actually, he was at PFL a few years ago. They let him go for some reason. That's a mistake. He's really good, man. And he's taking on Eric Spicely here. He's had 2 stints in the UFC, and he struggled. He's only 2-5 in the UFC. But he does put on pretty good fights for the most part. He does have some good wins. He submitted Thiago Santos back in 2016. So this guy's not a pushover by any means. And like I said, the fight with Deron Wynn was amazing. Great fight. If you didn't see that one last year, go back and watch it. Still, you got to favor Soriano, guys. With that knockout power, you absolutely have to favor him here. And the last fight announcement, it's not in the UFC. It's in ONE Championship. Demetrius Johnson will be taking on Adriano Moraes for the ONE Championship flyweight title. And, you know, when I posted the article last night when Chatroo broke the news, people were like, wow, Demetrius isn't the champion there. Like, I think a lot of people were surprised he's not the champ. He isn't. He won the flyweight Grand Prix, which obviously got him the title shot. But Adriano Moraes is actually the champion. And Adriano Moraes is a 3-time champion in ONE Championship. So in one way, that's good because he's a 3-time champ. But at the same time, this guy's lost his title a couple times as well. So anyways, Demetrius, he's looked really good in ONE since coming over from that trade. 3 straight wins. He won the ONE Championship flyweight Grand Prix with victories over Danny Kingad, Tatsu Mitsuwada, and Yuya Wakamatsu. So some really good wins there for him in ONE. And then Moraes is coming off a win over Geji Estuquio. And he's fought a lot of the same guys Demetrius just beat in that tournament. This guy is pretty good. 18-3 overall in his career and 10-3 in ONE. So a dangerous guy, no doubt. But it's Demetrius Johnson, you know. So this guy is going to be a huge underdog in this fight. And honestly, I don't think people are going to give him a chance. I think Demetrius is going to be like a -1,000 favorite here. And I honestly, it's understandable. The guy is an absolute monster. And he's one of the best fighters in the world. So, you know, save for that loss to Henry Cejudo, which was a really close fight, could have gone either way. This guy hasn't lost a fight since since 2011. So really, it, besides the Cejudo fight, he's got one loss in the last 10 years. He's an absolute beast, and you know, interesting fight. But you kind of favored Johnson quite a bit in this one. Anyways, that's going to be it for today's show, guys. I'll be back tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. breaking down the news, and then 11 a.m. me and Cole Sheldon doing the full UFC 246 preview. I'm looking forward to that. That is a great card. Definitely tune in tomorrow at 11. You guys can check me out on Twitter at MMAdamMartin. Feel free to send any questions in there or to my email, adam_martin13@hotmail.com. Love getting some questions in the mail. It's always nice. Also, check me out at bjpenn.com and MMAraise.net. Guys, have a great day. I'll be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. Bye.